Father, now as we go into your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would now fill each one of us, enlighten us, speak to us. May we feel your presence. May we hear your voice. And Father, may you change our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did you know that God made you to live forever? One day our hearts are going to stop beating, but we will continue to live. God made us in his image so that we will last forever. God has made us to live with him. And while we are here on earth, God wants to develop a relationship with us. That's what all this is about. God has made us to live forever. And while we are here on earth, God wants to develop a relationship with us. You know, the resurrection accomplished many things. It proved the validity of Jesus. You see, many people have claimed to be God. Even during the time of Christ, many said that they were the Messiah. Some even had followers. Some were even crucified. But after they were crucified and they were dead and buried, the group disbanded and they went away. But Jesus said, I'm the Messiah. I am God in the flesh, and I'll prove it to you. I'll let the authorities take me. I will let them beat me, kill me. Then I will resurrect. I will prove to you that I am the Messiah. I will prove to you that I am God in the flesh. I'll walk the streets of Jerusalem. I'll allow large crowds to see me. For 40 days, I'll walk around and I will prove that I am God. So Jesus proved his validity and his claims of being God and being the Messiah through his resurrection. Jesus also proved by the resurrection that there is life after death. There is certainly a lot more than what we have right now. But this morning, I want to look at the Holy Weekend a little differently than maybe we've looked at it in the past. You see, for during those 3 days, Jesus taught us something very important. You may want to take a piece of paper and write on this and stick it in your Bible, because at some point, we will all go through what Jesus went through. Jesus is going to teach us how to handle pain. We're going to look at this scripture again that we just read. Actually, Carrie just read. This is in 1 Peter 2:21. This is the kind of life you've been invited into. The kind of life that Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done. And also know how to do it. How? So Jesus says, I'm going to show you step by step how to handle this life that I've led, this life that had a lot of pain, this life that had a lot of issues in it. I am going to share with you step by step how to handle pain. So we're going to go through the bad days in our lives. We're going to think about those days. We're going to think about the tragedies. Those days when you've received bad news. You know, that punch in the stomach kind of day. You ever had one of those days where you've had a punch in the stomach? We've all had those kind of days. I remember when my dad told me that he had cancer and it was inoperable. Man, it broke my heart. I'll never forget it. That was just... I was drained, I cried, and I was just broken. But we all go through those days. Every one of us. If you haven't, you're going to. We have days of doubt, we have days of depression, and we have days of despair. So let's look at that Holy Weekend, and let's see how Jesus handled those days of despair, depression, and doubt. You see, Friday was a day of pain for Jesus. A day of pain, a day of grief, and a day of suffering. Saturday was a day of loss, of confusion and misery, and Sunday was a day of joy and celebration and victory. You see, in our lives, we're going to go through these days over and over and over and over again. We're going to have painful days. We're going to have depression days. We're going to have doubtful days. We're going to have days of victory. Then we're going to go back and we're going to have painful days. And we're going to have doubtful days. We're going to have depression days. And then we're going to have days of victory. And then it's going to go over and over and over again. We will all experience these types of doubt, depression, despair, and victory. So there are three questions we need to ask ourselves when we've received that hit in the stomach message of pain. What do I do in my days of pain? How do I get through my days of doubt and depression? And how do I get to my days of victory? Let's look at what Jesus did in the worst days of his life so we know how to handle the worst days of our lives. Friday was a day of pain for Jesus. It was ultimate pain. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was slapped. He had his beard pulled out. Thorns were pushed down deep in his scalp. And he was whipped 40 times with a whip that had 9 legs? Tentacles? What would you call those things? You know what I'm talking about? What would you call them? Cattails, okay? Cattails that were coming. Got 9 of them. They had rock and glass embedded in them. So if you look at the number of times that Jesus was beaten, it was 40 times. And if those 9 cattails came across his back 40 times, it means he had 360 stripes on his back after he was beaten. He had no sleep. He had no water. He was nailed to a cross. Jesus also experienced emotional and psychological pain. You see, death on the cross was humiliating. He was stripped naked. He was nailed to a cross for all to go by and watch him die. Jesus had pain, he had humiliation, he had rejection, and he had betrayal. But Jesus also had spiritual pain. He took on the sins of the world, so he also took on the guilt of that sin. For every ugly sin, for every evil crime, everything was placed on him, so he felt the guilt of all of those crimes, all of those sins. Now, I want you to think about something that you've done, a sin that you've committed. You got it in your mind right now? Remember how bad you felt? Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said. Maybe it was an ugly word. I know this church would never let an ugly word slip. But maybe it was an ugly word. Or maybe you got mad and said something you shouldn't have said and didn't mean it. But do you remember how you felt after that? How guilty you felt that you acted that way? Think about that Jesus had on him, but he had all the sins of the entire world on him. He had everyone's sin. Jesus knows our pain. Look at Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, the great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weaknesses and testing. He experienced it all. We don't have a priest who is out of touch. Jesus isn't out of touch with us. He's experienced it. He's been through weaknesses. He's been through testing. Jesus has experienced it all. Look at Hebrews 2, 16 through 18. It's obvious, of course, that he didn't go to all this trouble for angels. It was for people like us, children of Abraham. That's why he had to be into every detail of human life. Then when he came before God as high priest to get rid of the people's sins, he would already experience it all himself, all the pain, all the testing, and... So what does that say about Jesus? He knows us. He's experienced it, and he's able to what? He's able to help. He's able to help. Now, what do you do in your days of pain? Well, this is what Jesus did. He reached out to friends. The last night before Jesus was arrested, he gathered his group. He said, I need you to hang out with me for a while. I need for you to pray with me. Look at Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with them to a garden called Gethsemane. Jesus went there often to pray. And he told his disciples, you stay here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two Johns. He plunged into an agonizing sorrow. Then he said, this sorrow is crushing my life out. Stay here and keep vigil with me. Look at what Jesus said. He said, stay with me. My heart is overwhelmed. Just sit here with me. You know, normally, many times, if you're like me and you have pain, how do you act? You know what I do? I isolate myself. I isolate myself. I get away from everybody. I get quiet. I back out of relationships. I get a leave me alone attitude. But look how Jesus handles pain. This is important. Look at this. Look how Jesus handles pain. He doesn't sugarcoat it. How you doing, Jesus? Well, I'm doing just fine. No. Man, I am so upset. I am so distressed. I'm about to die. That's what he told his disciples. He didn't sugarcoat it. He is honest. He bears his soul. And he says, my heart is so overwhelmed, I feel like I could die. So, what is God telling us through this experience of Jesus? This is what he's telling us. Don't suppress what you're going through. God says, express your pain to your friends. Confess your pain to God. Get it out. Don't suppress it. Get it out. Call your friends together. Get it out. Call your friends together. Let them pray with you. Call your friends together. Let them hang out with you. But Jesus also reached out to God. How did he reach out to God? What's he doing here? He's praying. Now look at Mark 14. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Father, he said,
everything is possible for you.
Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what
you will.
You see, Jesus fell down on his face and he said, Abba. This word Abba would be the first word a Middle Eastern child would learn. Abba is like dada. Abba is like daddy. So what Jesus is saying here, daddy, help me. I know you can do all things, daddy. I want your will to be done in my life, daddy, but help me, daddy. You see that? Jesus teaches us to pray three things when our heart is broken. Affirm God's power. Daddy, I know that you can do anything. Express your desire. Daddy, I don't like this pain. It's okay to tell God that you don't like what you're going through. It's okay to tell God, Lord, what I'm going through right now stinks. I don't like it. It's okay. Then offer your trust. I want, Lord, Daddy, I want your will to be done, not mine. So when our heart is breaking, don't hone it in. Tell your friends, gather your friends, pray with your friends. See, that's the beauty of the church. Man, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all friends. So when one of us is having a problem, we don't want to hold it in. We don't want to hide it. What good is that going to do? Man, you want to call your friends. You want to invite your friends over. I want you to come on over here with me. I've got a problem. I need some help. I want you to pray with me. I'm about to bust. I can't take this any longer. You see, when you share what's going on in your life, you only carry half the load. The other half is carried by your friends. And then, church, what that tells us is that we need to be a friend. That when somebody calls us and they're going through tough times, we need to be there. You see, these days will lead you to joy and victory. Holding it in. Not talking to God, not talking to friends, doesn't get you anywhere. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you and praise you, and thank you, Father, for your word and how powerful it is. Lord, we thank you for the resurrection, the proof, and how valid it is. And Father, we pray that for those of us who are going through difficult times, or for those of us who will go through difficult times, before we will, that we would remember how you handled your tough days. That you gathered your friends. You told them how you felt. You asked them to pray with you. You were honest with God. So, Father, we just pray that you would remind us that we need to be a friend to a friend. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the law of God is to love God and love people. Just to make it very simple. Love God and love people. So we are commanded by God's law to help people that are in need. We are commanded to help those that call on us for help. It's God's law. Love God. Love people. Won't you stand with us?